So today is Tuesday, November 10th, the 23rd of Cheshvan, and we are beginning chapter 23 of Shmuel. So after we do some various other commentaries and some Gemaras, we're going to see the Malvim, and from the Malvim, we're going to learn a lot about Mashiach, things that I never knew. So it'll be hopefully very interesting. So it's a long parak. We're only doing the first seven psukim today because it's a poem in and of itself. You guys like this new format that I've been cutting and pasting with the Hebrew and the English together? Does anybody have an opinion? I like it.
Yes, I like it.
Okay, good. So I'm going to keep doing that. Okay, so let's just read through it quickly so we get a sense of the words. Some of the words are similar to the words in the previous chapter, which was a much longer poem. Hi Rhoda. Okay, so we're just starting. So Ve'ela Divrei David Achronim, Nu'um David Ben Yishai, Nu'um Hagever Hukam Al Mashiach Elokei Yaakov, Nu'im Zmirot Yisrael. These are the last words of David. Okay, there's going to be a discussion. If these are the last words, what were the first words? So look for that. The saying of David, and look at all these descriptions of him. The son of Jesse, the saying of the man raised on high. So notice the difference between the son of Jesse and the man, in Hebrew, Ben Yishai versus Gever, and the anointed, Mashiach. Okay, so just to clarify for everybody, in case you didn't know, Mashiach means, what is Messiah? But it also literally means in Hebrew, the anointed one. So that means that all of the kings, especially if it was a new line of kings, and all of the high priests were by definition a Mashiach, because they were anointed. Okay? So that's why, so David, even though he's not the ultimate Messiah, as we would say, he is a Mashiach in the sense of being an anointed king. And then he says, God of Jacob, and the sweet singer, Ne'im Zmirot, such a great line, of Israel. Okay, and now keep in mind here also, this happens other times, that as much as when we see this, we're kind of programmed to think Israel, the people of Israel, Israel, Yisrael, is also an alternate name for Jacob, Yaakov. So there could be a double entendre here of the man Jacob / Yisrael versus the man Jacob in the nation of Israel. Okay, Ruach Hashem diber bi umilato alishoni. The Spirit of the Lord spoke in me, so that's the Ruach Hashem, and his words were on my tongue. So he's kind of declaring at the end of his days, his last poem, that it was with the Ruach of Hashem, that the Spirit of Hashem, divine inspiration, that he wrote these. Amar Elokei Yisrael li diber, Tzur Yisrael, Moshel be'adam, Tzadik Moshel yirat Elokim. So here's where it gets confusing to translate. You can see if you just glance at the translation here, there's a lot of parentheses and brackets because it's a little cryptic. The Malbim notes that as well. So there are different ways to understand it, and we're going to see different ways. So the God of Israel said, concerning me. So Malbim's going to comment on that. If you're following along in the Hebrew, li usually means to me, but sometimes it means about me. And this is throughout the Torah as well, that it just doesn't make sense that somebody would be speaking to someone, le, and that they would actually be speaking about them in that context. So that's why the translation says, concerning me, spoke the Rock of Israel. A ruler over men shall be the righteous. And you see it says in parentheses, man, because there is no man in the Hebrew, meaning it's left for interpretation that we're going to see. He that rules in the fear of God. Uch'or boker yizrach shamash. And the light of the morning, the sun, will shine. Boker lo avot. A morning without clouds. Minoga mimatar desha mi'eretz. More than the light that follows the rain that falls upon the grass of the earth. Ki lo chein beiti imkel. This is not so my house with God. Ki brit olam samli, because he made me an eternal covenant. Arucha bekol, that is set forth for all, ushmura, and it's guarded. Ki kol yishi v'kol chefetz, ki lo yatzmiach. And again, you see all the brackets in the translation. So he heeded for all my salvation and all the desire for he will not sprout forth. Mommy, you recognize the word chefetz, right? So it is a word, it is used. Your Talmud Torah teachers didn't teach you entirely wrongly. Skirit does mean desire. My mom, I'll just tell the story. My mom went to the same Hebrew school I went to, the same Hebrew school my grandmother went to. And when they wanted to go to the bathroom, they would raise their hand and say, Ani chafetza lalechet lamata, which means I desireth, because you can see it's a biblical word, to go downstairs. So when she first went to Israel, they didn't know what she was talking about. When she wanted to find where the bathroom was, when she desired to go to the basement. Okay. Ubli Ya'el kikotz munad, but the wicked are all as thorns thrust away. That word munad, my other life, the word nida, also comes from that, of going away. Kulhem kilo biyad ikhu, for they cannot be taken in hand. You wouldn't touch these thorns, they're too sharp. Ve'ish yigabahem yamale barzel ve'etz, but if a man touches them, he should be armed with iron, ve'etz chanit, and the staff of a spear, so the wooden part of the spear, ve'ish sarof yisarfu b'shavat, sorry. And with fire, they shall be utterly burned in their place. Okay, I wanted to apologize. I forgot. There was a word I mistranslated last week. It was sig, which means dross, and I translated it as sayag, fence, but it was sig. And so it just meant more of the purity of whatever God was refining in the world. So that was from last week. So I just wanted to apologize in case I didn't know that word sig. So that's what it is. Okay, so we see right away in the Targum, Yonatan, that we saw last time. Also, we saw the same thing last time, that here, if you see, for some reason, I guess because I have it so big, so it says Nevuat David. So he adds this idea that this is a prophecy of David. So David, there's a difference I explained last week between Nevuah, prophecy, and Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration. So just to summarize, all the books written in Navi, in Nevi'im, which is this, Sefer Shmuel, is considered to be written with prophecy, either through a dream or through being placed in a trance. The prophet would receive a message from God, or in his speeches, they would be essentially written by God through the prophet's mouth, but not to the level of Moshe. The Torah is on an even higher level, where it's actually Moshe dictating the word of God. There's no room for interpretation. Here in Nevi'im, there's room for interpretation, which is different than Ketuvim, which is divine inspiration. And the Malvim is actually going to explain a little bit what that divine inspiration is. So I'm looking forward to learning that with you. Okay, and then the Targum also, so this whole until here, until Lameti, is just the translation, quote unquote, of Ve'ela Divrei David Achronim. So those four words is that whole line. So these are the prophecies of David that he prophesied at the end of his days as a comfort that in the future he would die. Okay, so these are his last prophecies. This was really interesting. So remember I pointed out the Yaakov / Yisrael. So there's a midrash in Bereishit Rabbah that the Alshich is going to bring in. The Alshich, if you remember, we look at him every once in a while. He lived in Sfat with Rav Yosef Cairo. He's a commentary on the Tanakh, and he was a Kabbalist. So it's, I think 16th century. I think somebody has to go on mute. That's okay. Okay, so he says, I'm just going to explain it, that a lot of Tehillim was actually said by Yaakov. So how can that be when David, it's attributed to David, many of them, not all of them. So they say that when Yaakov was in Laban's house, it says he didn't sleep at all, but the 14, right, so he slept on one night, but the whole 14 years that he was in the house of Laban, he did not sleep. So what did he do? Sorry, I'm getting my mouse back. Okay, here it is. He's saying Shir Hamalot, the 15 Shir Hamalot. There's 15 poems in Tehillim that start out with Shir Hamalot that are in Tehillim. But then the Midrash points out Shir Hamalot le David, Lulei Hashem Shaital Anu Yomar No Yisrael. So this is a line from Kuf Kaf Dalet, one of the Shir Hamalot. So it's to David, if it were not for God to us, that he would say, please, Yisrael. So then the Midrash says, Yisrael Saba. It's not the nation of Israel. It's Israel the grandfather, meaning Jacob. And then Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman says, all of Sefer Tehillim was said by Jacob. And again, it quotes another one where it says, Tehillot Yisrael, the praises of Israel, and not just the nation of Israel, again, Yisrael Saba. Okay? So that's a midrash that the Al-Sheikh is then going to apply to our chapter of Shmuel. So it says, V'ne'im Zmirot Yisrael, and the pleasant singer of, and we would have understood that as the nation of Israel. V'hu ki hine amru rabbeinu, zichronam livracha. So this is what our rabbis say in this midrash I just showed you on the pasuk in Tehillim, Kaf Bet Dalet, V'ata kadosh yoshev tehillot Yisrael. So that's, you see that right here, and you see that here. So that means, Ma haya osei Yaakov bioto bebeit Lavan. What did Yaakov do when he was in Lavan's house? Haya kore sefer Tehillim. He would read the book of Tehillim. Ulfize haya kisharta al Yaakov ruach hakodesh ledat kol asher haya atid David lezamer beruach hakodesh. So the Al-Sheikh explains that he would read Tehillim because he had this divine inspiration that rested upon him, that he knew exactly what David would write in the future with divine inspiration. Vizehu na'im, and that's what it means when it says pleasant. Shehigia David liot na'im v'na'ot shel zmirot Yisrael Saba. David would be the pleasant and beautiful of the singers of Israel, the grandfather. So somehow Jacob was able to channel his future descendant David and use the words that David would write thousands of years later to comfort him while he was working in Laban's house. It's just a nice vision of the going through the generations. Okay, so now this mentions our Gemara, but it doesn't explain it. But I just thought it was a really interesting thing to be included in the Gemara by the rabbis. So it's in Moed Katan, Tet Zayin Bet. So we'll just read it in English. Zutra Bar Tuvia was once reading the portion of the Bible before Rav Yehuda. When he reached the verse, now these are the last words of David, Zutra Bar Tuvia said to Rav Yehuda, if it is written that these are the last of David's words, by inference, there are first words as well. Okay, remember we saw that in the beginning, it said the last. If this is the case, what are these first words of David? Prior to this, it mentions only David's song, but not his words, Devarim. Rav Yehuda remained silent and said nothing to him. Zutra Bar Tuvia thought that Rav Yehuda did not hear what he had said. So he then said to him a second time, if it is written that these are the last of David's words, by inference, there are first words as well. If this is the case, what are the first words of David? He said to him, what do you think? Do you think that anyone who does not know the meaning of this verse is not a great man? He thinks he's actually mocking him by asking him the question again, like showing in his face that he doesn't know the answer. Why are you stressing the fact that I do not know the answer to your question? Zutra Bar Tuvia understood that Rabbi Yehuda had taken the matter to heart and was insulted. Therefore, he conducted himself as if he had been admonished for one day as a self-imposed punishment. So this is coming in the context of people who are admonished. And it's just a really beautiful story of the humility and the conduct of the rabbis. That even though he didn't mean to insult him at all, the very fact that he did in fact insult him meant he took upon himself this admonishment where he didn't talk to anybody for one day to punish himself for asking the question twice and completely inadvertently insulting his rabbi. Okay, then it goes on to say, and I forgot to include it from the Gemara. It's in the Gemara, but we're going to see it in the Mitzudat David. We're going to see it in Rashi, actually. That the first words are actually the previous chapter, which was also Devarim, and it was also a poem. So those are the first words. Okay, but we'll see that inside later. So now, more on that first verse from the same Gemara. Having mentioned the last words of David, the Gemara continues to explain other expressions in that passage. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said in the name of Rabbi Yonatan, what is the meaning of that which is written, the saying of David, son of Yishai, and the saying of the man who was raised up on high? Remember, it was a lot of descriptions of the same person, David. It means as follows, the saying of David, son of Yishai, who raised the yoke. So yoke in Hebrew is all. So here's the word all of yoke, and they change it to all here was sorry on high. He came all, right? Let's just look at that for a second. So here it was. He came all, hakam all, so raised on high. So all here is from aliyah, on high, but the rabbis are interpreting it, as all yoke. Okay, so what's he saying? He is saying,
or is they saying the Gemara is the word olah?
Yeah, so shehekim ulah shel tshuva. So, yeah, so he raised the yoke of repentance. Okay, so instead of raising on high, it's the yoke, and the yoke specifically of tshuva, of repentance, as through his actions he taught the power of repentance. The word al, on high, and the word ula are comprised of the same consonants in Hebrew. Okay, so David is a model for us of how to do tshuva and the effectiveness of tshuva. And that's why he was raised on high, to be that model. Okay, Rashi, we'll read in English again. The last words of David, the concluding words of prophecy of David. And that's taken from the Targum that we saw before. Now, which were the first prophetic words of David? This is a question that the rabbi asked the other rabbi in the Gemara. And now Rashi has an answer based on the Gemara also, which I did not show you inside. I apologize. The words of the Song of Praise that were stated above, which is chapter 22. However, all the other songs and praise that he had said are not referred to as words. So I think we can even infer from this that these two chapters, 22 and the beginning of 23, are poems that David composed with a higher level of prophecy, which is why they appear here in the book of Prophets. And in the case of 22, also in the book of Ketuvim, but in the case of this poem, it doesn't appear. Rav Bazak said, has a parallel poem that he thinks it's similar to, a couple, but it doesn't appear almost word for word like the previous chapter. Then nothing else is referred to as words. Okay, and then Rashi explained raised on high that we just saw, just as raised on high. He doesn't take the Midrash from the Gemara. And sweet singer of Israel, Ne'im Zmirot Yisrael. So here Rashi's interpreting this as Israel the nation. The Israelites do not sing in the temple any songs other than his praises and songs. So David's Tehillim became the songbook, so to speak, of the Levi'im in the temple. Okay, now Mitzudat David. So another commentary a little later than Rashi. Yes, Louis? Oh, unmute yourself.
I just wanted to mention that Robert Alter points out that they're actually not the last words of David because he has a whole deathbed testament to Solomon.
Right. Thank you. I'm so glad you brought that up because I definitely wanted to comment on that. They are not his last words. What I would argue based on the Targum is that his last words of Nevuah, his last prophetic words where God was actually communicating something to him, which also makes it interesting to think that his last will and testament that we're going to see on his deathbed maybe wasn't a prophecy, that was like his own human statement to make that distinction, which is interesting. So thank you. Okay, so, and anybody else, questions, comments? Feel free to unmute yourself and interrupt me if you have anything. Okay, so Mitzudat David, Ve'ele Divrei David Ha'achronim, these are the last words. Rotzel Omar, Ma She'amar Achar Kol HaMa'asim V'Hashirim Asher Shar La'Hashem U'Misham Ve'ilach Lo Diber Od Beruach HaKodesh. Okay, so the Mitzudat David is actually, what I said echoes what the Mitzudat David is saying here. So why does he call it the last words? Because he said after all of the actions and the poems that he's saying to God, and from here on in, God did not speak to him anymore with divine inspiration. Ne'um David ben Yishai. So the speech of David, the son of Yishai, Ratzon Lomar, what does he mean by this description of himself? V'zeh divrei ne'um David, this is the speech of the words of David, Ratzon Lomar, zeh ha'davar dibarti od hayiti David ben Yishai, ro'atzon b'shafal hamadriga. These are the words that I would speak even when I was still David, the son of Yishai, the shepherd, the low-level guy. Okay, before he achieved any of his achievements, he would still sing out songs to God. V'ne'um ha'gever, and the speech of the gever, the man, Ze be'atzmi divrei ata. These are my words now. Af ki ani ha-gever asher hukam l'mala liot Mashiach Elokei Yaakov l'imloch b'Yisrael. Even though I am now, I've been raised above, and I'm the anointed one of God, the God of Yaakov, to rule over Israel, v'liot mina'im zmirot Yisrael, and to be one of the pleasant singers of Israel. Ratzon lomar l'sader zmirot ni'imot l'Yisrael. That is to say, he organized pleasant songs for Israel, the nation here, of course. L'shorer b'beit Hashem, for them to sing in the house of Hashem. V'cha'omer achar kol ha'gdula hazot, after all of this greatness, lo nishtanet da'ati ma'asher hayta me'az. My mind has not changed from that which I was then. I've maintained the same emuna in God, the same faith. So that's why he has this multiple description of himself. Okay, so those are the outside sources that I brought in. Oh, we're going to see one more Gemara later. Now we'll start the Malbim. So the Malbim starts out with his questions, as he usually does. So his first question is, why did David call these the last words? And these words in and of themselves are situmim. That's what he says when it's hard to interpret them. It's hard to translate them. And they have wonderful things and different double words. Okay, so we saw from all the parentheses and brackets that it was hard for the editors of Chabad.org to translate these words, and the Malbim is saying it's also difficult for him. Okay. Ve'ele divrei David ha'achronim. These are the last words of David. Achar shesider sefer tehilotav le'et ziknuto. After he had organized his book of his praises at the time of his old age, chatam bo shmo lehodio michavro. He put his name there to announce who wrote them. So this is like his authorship of all of his books in his last poem. Ve'al mi chivro, and on whom he wrote it. Ube'ezo madrega ba'o hadibarimbo, and at what level these words came to him. Im miderach ha-sechel, im miruach ha-kodesh. Were these just an intellectual pursuit that David, who is a great poet, was able to put into words? Or was this actually divine inspiration? And it was divine inspiration, because that's what he says in the poem. V'hosif bo gam kein nevuah atida al inyan malchuto. And he also adds into this little poem that we just read a prophecy of the future on his kingship. Amar ne'um David ben Yishai. He says the speech of David the son of Yishai. Ritzon lamar shehaz mirot habaim b'sefer hahu. That is to say, the songs that come in this book, kolalim gimel inyanim, they include three matters. Aleph, so what's the first thing that they include? Zmirot shamar al atzmo, b'tocham ema sheshar kodem nimshach b'yoto ro'etzon. So those songs that he wrote before he was anointed, when he was just a shepherd. Ve'al ze omer David ben Yishai. And on this he says David ben Yishai, as we saw from the Metzudat David. Two, Zmirot shamar achar shenimshach. These are the songs he wrote after he was anointed, ve'achar shemalach, and after he was the king, mitzad inyanei machuto, from the matter of the aspect of his kingship. Ben bioto nirdaf, ben bioto matzliach, whether he was being chased or whether he was succeeding in his kingship. Ve'al ze omer, and this is the phrase, ne'um hagever hukam al, the speech of the man that he has raised up. Liot Mashiach Elokei Yaakov, to be the anointed one of the God of Israel. So he wrote before he became the king when he was just a shepherd, after he became king, both while he was being chased and his successes. And Gimel, the third one, Zmirot Shechiber Letzorach Kla Yisrael, those songs that he wrote for the sake of all of the nation of Israel. Im Sipur Niflaot Kel, Im Tfilot O Mehulalim Ba'avur Ha'am Bechlal. Whether these are the wonders of God, or these are prayers, or they're praises for the sake of the nation in general. Ve'al ze omer, and that's what he means by the phrase V'ne'im Zmirot Yisrael, the pleasant singer of Israel. Okay.
So I have a question about
yes.
that. So there he's sort of indicating that it's like no matter where he is, he has faith, but like as he goes, he grows, right? Like, and it grows, so you would believe that your faith, like we said before, go up, like your faith goes up. But in the paragraph before, it said that it stayed the same, like he always had that faith, like it's always, like, it's, that it was constant. So sort of that, like, push-pull between we're always supposed to be as aspiring to a higher level, but yet before saying, no, it wasn't a higher level, it's always the same. That sort of tension seemed right there to me.
Yeah, you could definitely see it that way. You could also see it as the tension of someone rising to greatness and being pursued and chased, and the risk of losing that faith and yet maintaining it. Rabbi Sacks said something so beautiful. If you get a chance, you can ask me. I can send it to you. Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg of Boca Raton, before he started his podcast, Rabbi Sacks came to his community, and he was able to pull him aside for 20 minutes and ask him to test out doing this podcast, and he asked him a bunch of questions. So he asked Rabbi Sacks if he ever had crises of faith. And Rabbi Sacks said, of course. But he said he never had crises of faith in God. But as he grew in his stature and position, he had many crises of faith in man, which was also so powerful. So thank you for asking that, Rona. And I liked your explanation as well. And thank you for allowing me to clarify that. So David HaMelech, I think you could probably say the same thing about him, that he always maintained his faith in God, but his crisis of faith came from his experiences with his fellow human beings. But Rabbi Sacks said he saw that every person was capable of change at all times, and that's what kept him going. Okay, not to leave you on that sad note. Okay, so now we're on Pasuk Bet Ruach, so just look at it quickly. So Ruach Hashem Diber Bi, meaning he spoke with the Ruach, with divine inspiration, and his words were on my tongue. So Malavim's going to quote the full Pasuk. Ruach Hodiya. He informs, Ki kol hazmirot ne'amru beruach Hashem asher alav. All of these poems were said with divine inspiration that was upon him. Vaya'an she'aruach Eloki yachol al hameshorer b'shtei madrigot. But even this divine inspiration has two different levels. Imrak l'oraro b'koach Eloki al inyan hashir. Sometimes the divine inspiration is just an awakening so that he'll go write his poetry. I wish I had that divine inspiration to do more work. But the actual words and the formation of the poem is done by the person with his wisdom. Not the words don't come from God, just the awakening to write down the words. Or maybe the words and militza in modern Hebrew is a metaphor, so the poetry, I think, would be also with this divine inspiration. Amar ki shnei ham haya mehofa'a elokit. So he's saying that both of these came from God. Ruach Hashem diber bi, the divine inspiration spoke to me, awakened me. V'gam milato hi alishoni, and also his word, his with capital H, word, is on my tongue. Shagam seder hamilot haya mehashem. Also the order of the words were from Hashem. Okay, so now another Gemara on the next pasuk. So let's just look at that next pasuk. So this is the God of Israel said concerning me, spoke the Rock of Israel, a ruler over men shall be the righteous. And here you see the word man there. But we're going to see that the Gemara takes it in a different direction. So a ruler over men shall be, don't translate as the righteous, but just think tzaddik in your head. Okay? He that rules in the fear of God. Okay, so let's see this Gemara. So the passage continues, because this is, again, the same Gemara that we looked at before from Moed Katan. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me, he that rules over men must be righteous. Okay, so remember Chabad.org with that righteous said, a righteous man, ruling in the fear of God. So I guess whether it's tzaddik is an adjective or whether it's a noun. The Gemara asked, what is this verse saying? What does it mean? Rabbi Bahu said, this is what the verse is saying. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me. Although I rule over man, who rules over me? Notice the capital M. So God rules over man, but who rules over God? As if it's a question. And the answer is a tzaddik. A tzaddik can rule over God. How is it possible to say that a righteous person rules over God, as it were? As I, God, issue a decree, and the righteous person nullifies it. So God issues decrees, bad decrees, presumably, but the tzaddik has the power to nullify that decree. And in that way, the tzaddik is a rule over God. Okay? So Rashi brings this explanation, but we'll see what he does to it. So he says, to me spoke, etc. To me spoke and commanded the Rock of Israel that I be a rule over man, over Israel who is known as man, as it is written, you are man, okay? And that I be both a righteous ruler and a God-fearing man. Okay, so that's Rashi's interpretation of it, that the tzaddik doesn't refer to, that these are the, it's a adjective as opposed to a noun, I think, that David be both righteous and fearing of God. Now, our rabbis have interpreted it in a different manner. David said, the Lord of Israel spoke to me spoke the Rock of Israel, I am the ruler of men, now who is ruler over me? The righteous man, for I pass a decree, and he has the power to revoke it. And that M here should be capitalized. However, according to the flow of the verses, the first is a more literal interpretation of the text. So Rashi doesn't like the Gemara as much. Okay, continuing on in the Malbim. So that same pasuk that we just did in the Gemara, in the Malbim, Amar, Ata hitchil nevuah atida. So now David's beginning his prophecy of the future, which we didn't see in the Gemara or the Rashi on this pasuk. Shenemar lo me'et Hashem al machut zaro. So Malbim is interpreting the following verses as coming from God on his continued line of kingship. V'titkayam li'amot ha-Mashiach, and it will endure until the days of the ultimate Messiah, Mashiach. V'ka'ayin dugma haya b'machut Shlomo me'ein ma'ein hayatid. And an example of this is in the kingship of Shlomo, Solomon, which is a little taste of the future. U'perisho, in his explanation, Hashem, God, mitzad shehu, from the aspect that he is Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel, umashgiach alehem, and looks over them. Amar, he said, which Malbim says this word, Amar means umifaresh, explains, li diber tzur Yisrael. Concerning me spoke the God of Israel. She diber zeh be'aruch, that he said this at length. So Malbim, in his way where he likes to compare seemingly synonyms, he says that Amira is shorter than Dibur. Dibur is longer. Shehad Dibur hu be'orach. Dibur is at length. V'kol li v'lo v'lahem. I mentioned this in the beginning. This lamed, which usually means two. But hasmuchim etzel Dibur, when you have lamed with Dibur, Perush Bishvil. Then the explanation is on account of, or for, or about. V'ratzon lomer shediber bishvili. And so what is David saying? That he spoke for me, or on account of me. She'atid la'amod moshel be'adam. That in the future will stand a ruler over men. Ratzon lomer ha'mashiach yalo shnei madrigot. So what is it saying? The Mashiach will have two levels. Echad, the first level, she'imshol be'adam bichlal. He will rule over man in general. Shekol b'nei Adam yishma'un alav. All men will listen to him. So that's one level of rulership of Mashiach. Bet sheyet tzadik moshel yirat elokim. So the second level is he'll be righteous. The ruler will be righteous in a fear of God. Shemitzad sheyanuach alav ruach dat v'yirat elokim. So from this aspect that rests upon him, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of God, yimshol al atzmo, La'amod v'tzidkato. He will rule over himself to stand, to remain in his righteousness. Okay? So it's one thing to rule over others, and the Malbim is saying it's an even higher level to be able to rule over yourself and maintain your righteousness. U'bekoch zeh sheyimshol atzmo, yimshol al ha'adam bichlal. And this will be a virtuous cycle, that the strength that he's able to rule over himself, he will then rule over man in general. Isn't this beautiful? Especially during this time, but we're not going to get political. Be'ofen shirat elokim hi tia hamoshelet az. In that way that his fear of God will be the way he rules. Ukmo shekatuv hachaver lehakozer. And now he's quoting, which I'm embarrassed to admit, I've never studied extensively. I know a little bit about it, but he's quoting from the Kuzari, the story of the rabbi who's convincing this Khazar king to convert to Judaism. They're having discussion about all the world religions. Shamolech al atzmo hu haraui limloch al haklal. So this is a quotation from the Kuzari. The one who rules over himself, he is worthy to rule over the general. Others. Beautiful, right? Okay, so now let's just remind ourselves of this Pasuk Dalet. So this is strange. It's describing these meteorological aspects. So he's talking about the light of the morning, the sun shining, the morning without clouds, more than the light that falls, the rain that falls upon the grass of the earth. So let's see how the Malbim interprets this. Okay, Ukeor. And like, so we would read this, and I think, sorry to go back and forth if I'm hurting your eyes. So this translation reads this, the light of the morning. So Keor Boker. So Or is a noun, light, and Boker is a noun, morning, and they're in a smichut relationship, the light of the morning. So Malbim is going to have a completely different read on that. Okay, so what's Malbim going to say? Ukeor. Od ye hevdel bein malchut ha-mashiach lebein malchut ha-olam hazeh. So there's going to be another difference, not just in who the ruler is and the quality of who that ruler is, but there's going to be another difference between the rulership of the Mashiach and the rulership of this world. V'tzir zeh behimshil et ha-malchut el ha-shemesh. And he explains this by doing a parable comparing the kingship to the sun. Ki kamohu ta'ir ha-malchut eretz v'tofia bigvurotav. Just like the sun lights up and appears in its strength and glory, so too the kingship will light up and appear in its strength. V'hine ha-malchut be'olam hazeh to come kamo zrichat ha-shemesh. So rulership, kingship in this world comes up like the shining of the sun. Shebalot ha-shachar kaha oro, that at the first rays of dawn, its light is actually kind of dark, it's dimmed. V'chein tosif ta'ir ad nechon hayom, and its light increases until the day is established. U'bedugmat zeh amda gam malchut David, and this is exactly how David came to be king. Shehit notzitza me'at me'at v'hadraga, that he had little bits of peeking out very slowly in levels. Lo kein malchut ha'atid. This will not be how the Mashiach comes to rule. Shepit om yizrach ha-shemesh. Suddenly, the sun will be shining. V'ye or gadol, and it will be a big light. V'alze omer, uke'or boker yizrach shemesh. And this is what it means. And now he says, or eino shem davar. This word or is not a noun. Rak pa'al, rather it's a verb. V'hakaf usually means like. It doesn't mean like here. It means time. It means when. And these are entirely possible in the Hebrew language. So then we understand it as not as like the light of the morning, but when the morning shines, when the morning illuminates. Be'etche ir haboker, at the time that the morning illuminates, az kvar yizrach ha-shemesh, the sun will also be shining. There won't be this gradual first rays of dawn. Shelo yala ha-shemesh al ha-ofek behadraga, the sun won't go up from the horizon in levels, rak pit'om mitzorayim yakum chalad. Suddenly, in the middle of the day, the world will get up. Ritzon lamar shetechef be'amdo yimshol mamshal rav u'malchut olam. This leader will be able to rise up immediately and rule over the kings of the world. Ve'amar od boker lo avot, a morning without clouds, it also says. Ki zrichat ha-shemesh ha-malchut b'olam hazeh, the shining of the sun of the kingship in this world, yitzuar shikra lo kmo el ha-shemesh, is also described. It happens to him like it happens to the sun. Shelefamim yichasehu avim ba'ananim b'lo yir'eh or klal. Sometimes clouds, thick clouds or regular clouds, cover him up and you don't see his light at all. Lefamim hagam shiyitra'eh mibein ha'anan yiyah b'tzad echad min harekiyah geshem u'matar. And sometimes it'll be seen only between the clouds, and on one side of, and there'll be rain. Shezen yitzrach kedei lahatzmiach deshem ha'aretz, which we need this rain in order for the grass to sprout from the land. U'bezel yitpalesh or ha-shemesh derech ha-matar. And the sun will be wallowing in this light by way of the rain. So it's reducing the light. V'lo yira rak noga low orba here, and you'll only see a reflected light and not the actual bright light. And he quotes something from Yeshayahu for that. V'chein machut olam hazeh, and so too, rulership in this world, lefamim techasehu anana legamrei, sometimes the clouds completely cover it up, kimo sheya lemachut beit David be'et hagalut, just like it was the kingship of David at the time of the exile. We weren't even sure. We're not even sure now. Some people can trace their lineage to David HaMelech, but it's not entirely clear. And even sometimes when you can see, when it is clear, it's standing against it is the darkness of the water, the rain. Which we need to make the plants grow. Malbim explains, other kingships equal to the kingship of us, the Jews, I guess, I think is what he's saying, rise up. In the natural way of the world, that these nations arise in them, these rulers. It's the way the natural system work. And they darken our light. Okay? Aval b'machuta atid. But in this kingship in the future, it'll be a morning without clouds. Shelo yechasehu avim, clouds won't cover him. V'chein minoga memtar, and also from this reflective light of the rain. Ritzon lamar lo haya haboker al yedei noga, the light won't be a reflected light of the morning. Haba mimatar shetzarich lo hotzi dasha me'eretz, which comes from this rain that you need to get grass out of land. There will be no other kingships to darken his light. Okay, kilo. Let's just keep reading. Mefaresh Derav. He explains his words. Neged mashakatuv boker lo avot. So this corresponds to the morning without clouds. Omer kilo kein beiti imkel. This is not my house with God. Shiviti shebeiti lo yechasehu hanan. My house, the clouds will not cover it. The house of David will never be canceled, will never lose it. Ki brit olam samli, because Hashem made for me this eternal covenant. Shelo yufsak b'shumpam, it won't stop ever. Rakia arucha b'kol v'shmura, it will be laid out and arranged and guarded. Shetekef be'amda tia arucha b'kol oz v'hadar, that as soon as it rises up, as soon as Mashiach comes, it'll be laid out in all of its strength and glory. Like it's written, that it'll just be shining immediately right away, like we learned about that other pasuk. Vishmura, and guarded. Bal tevatel bishum pa'am. It won't be canceled out any time. Boker lo avot. Like it says, morning without clouds. V'neged mashakatav boker lo minoga mimatar desha ma'aretz. And this is in contrast to what it talks about, this reflected light and the rain that brings the grass. Amar ki kol yeshiva kol chayfetz ki lo yatzmiya chadasha. All of our salvation and all of our desires, that the grass won't sprout. Ritzon lomar, what does this mean? Lo yitzmechu az hadesha'im shabavarom yarad hamatar lechasot hashemesh. These plants that cover the sun will not sprout. The hamalitza, and the metaphor is shelo yitkomamu az sare ha'akum kefi hateva v'hamarachet. The officers of the non-Jewish nations won't rise up according to their nature and their framework. Rak yehashem lemelch, only God will be king. V'yamalel kol yasha v'kol chafetz beit David, and he will fulfill all of the salvations and the desires of the house of David. Im yasha hanefesh, whether it's spiritual, im chafetzav ha'olamim, with his eternal desires. Okay, and then we ended, if you remember, the poem ended with the bad people getting, being like thorns and getting taken away. Ubli ya'el, so these are idolaters. Az yatzitzu parche kerem Hashem tzvakot, ve'et ha'kotzim yechala min ha'kerem. So now will sprout and flower the vineyard of the Lord of hosts, and these thorns will be destroyed from the vineyard. Vehem habliyal, and they are the idolaters, asher kulam domim kekotz munad, that are like the thorn that you throw out. She'omdim rak lehashchit et kol hanogebam. So what are these thorns, these weeds? They exist only to destroy anyone that touches them. Ve'hakol nedim b'hem, and everyone is staying away from them. Ki lo biyad yikul, because nobody would take them in hand. Ve'hanogea b'hem tzarich lihit labesh zayin u'barzel. The one who touches these thorns needs to wear, they need to be armed in order to be able to touch them. Ve'az, and this is a beautiful pasuk from Yeshayahu, shiktatu charvotam le'atim yachlu kakotzim. So you turn your swords into plowshares, and the swords, the thorns will be finished. Ki be'esh saruf yisrafu b'shevet. They'll be burnt in their place. Bevozman betulam, at the time that they'll be canceled, you call zedim v'kol se risha kash. All those who destroy things and who do wickedness will be straw. Bilahatotam hayom haba. And they'll be burnt on the next day. Kmo shekatav Malachi, and that's a pasuk from Malachi. So David, in his last prophecy, gives us this beautiful sense of what rulership will look like when Mashiach comes, that we'll have a ruler who, in a virtuous cycle, rules over himself, which enables him to rule over others, which enables him to then rule over himself, and he will be a tzaddik, he'll be righteous, and he'll be a God-fearer. And all of those who want to do bad, according to this poem, they'll be burnt up. They won't exist. Maybe they'll do tshuva and they'll come to see the light. And in David's metaphor, it's also the light of the sun that will shine immediately. It won't be a slight reckoning. We've seen some of these in our lifetimes with the fall of communism, which seemed to happen like that. And hopefully we will soon see good rulership, rulers with the people's interests at heart, rulers who not only rule over us, but rule over themselves, and they do so with righteousness and with fear of God.
Amen.
So thank you. Any questions?
I wanted to just make a comment about the fourth pasuk, because it reminds me of the Amitz Koach poem in Yom Kippur. At the point where the sacrifice is accepted, there's a beautiful image, and I don't remember the Hebrew words, but it talks about it. It's like the radiance of the rising sun, how, and the people are happy, and it's just a beautiful image, and it's so nice to see it here.
Beautiful. I love how you're bringing
the anointed king is compared to the brilliance of the
sun. Yeah. And Lou, I love how you're bringing Yom Kippur into the picture as well. Like when we're all forgiven and we're all wearing white and we're all clean and godlike. Beautiful.
It's a very, the moment is a very, what's the word? Just a completely soul changing.
Yeah. Okay, so now we get into some weird stuff next week with David listing all of his officers. We're going to hearken back to Uzziah the Hittite, the first husband of Bathsheba, he's mentioned. So it'll be interesting next week. No more poetry, though. Any other? Okay. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Have a good week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stacey.
Good night.
Thank you, Stacey.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah.